right, Clint. 12, 10, and 6 meter band. Because of its size, it is usually worked out to be better to work with ones that are simpler to handle. The structure used here, the apex, the antenna, the wire length was 20 meters long, about 67 feet. The wire diameter was number 12. The apex angle was at 30 degrees. The height above ground at the feed point was around 50 feet. The height above ground of the terminating resistance, about 6.5 feet. The value of the terminating resistance, about 300 ohms, but you can go anywhere between 250 and 500 ohms. And the feeders were 450 ohm open wire, connected to a 4-to-1 balun to the shack. That's the description of the antenna, over.
Yeah, as I checked on the index, the name is not in the index. Also, terminated Z-beam is not in the index. So it's not in the first look at the Volakis 4th edition antenna engineering handbook. I vaguely remember last week I did, or a week before, did a Google search on terminated Z-beam, and I think I did find a couple of articles on the subject. So I wonder if you've done a Google search on it. I think we can find data there. I don't think that antenna is going to fall into the ARL antenna books. Back to you, Mel. By the way, I can't do a Google search tonight because my internet service provider is not on the air. I have to go get an alternate. Over to you, Mel.
Okay, very good. Well, I guess it sounds like that antenna, let's see, is a directional antenna to some advantage. But the advantage is that you can install at least two of them to a single support. So you can have opposite directions. And it will give you, according to this, maximum radiation is in the direction of the center of the two sloping wires. So we got something that is a sloping, that's why I guess they call it a sloping a terminated V-beam, Dick, a TVB. And the person that sent me originally this said that like to know if anyone has tried an antenna like this, and the situation where you can't install a any type of beam, you know, for 6 meters with a rotor, if this would give some kind of advantage over, say, a vertical antenna, Dick, over.
Yeah, run by the description one more time. Is it an inverted V with two wires that come to the tips of the wires that come near the ground are terminated as they touch the ground? And that gives it a traveling wave structure as opposed to a standing wave structure, and therefore a lot more bandwidth. And the fact that you can install two of them on the same support, does that mean you make one of them north-south and the other one east-west? So describe to me mechanically what you know about the antenna, Mel. Go ahead.
I only can describe what I'm reading here, Dick. I have never seen one. Boy, it says here that the slanted V configuration in which the terminating resistors are a certain height above ground is much more effective. Okay. The description he gives of this one particular antenna is, let's see, wire length 67 feet, wire diameter number 12, apex angle 30 degrees, height above ground of the feed point about 50 feet, and height above ground of the terminating resistor about 6.5 feet, and the value of the terminating resistance around 300 ohms. And it's set at the apex with 450 ohm wire line to the shack, Dick. This is the description I have, over.
Boy, that certainly sounds like it is an inverted V antenna with 300 ohm terminating resistors at the end. The 67 feet long of each wire suggested it's tuned for 80 meters fundamentally. And because of the terminating resistors, I think you told me it works from 80 meters all the way up to 6 meters. As you go to the higher frequencies and you've got more wavelengths, ordinarily you'd have more wavelengths of wire, ordinarily you'd have a significant standing wave ratio. But because it is a traveling wave antenna with termination, my guess is the VSWR is very low, and therefore I'll bet you the performance is almost flat from 80 meters to 6 meters. Is that approximately true from what's being claimed? K2KEY, K2RIW?
This is K2KEY. No, this dimensions that I just read off are parameters for a practical 12, 10, and 6 meter version of it. The length, that's what I'm sort of looking at here, that these lengths are for 12, 10, and 6 meters thick. That's why I'm trying to visualize how these lengths came about, but he mentions here that the length of the element can be up to several wavelengths long. So I would assume if this is for 12, 10, and 6 meters, there are a number of wavelengths long for those frequencies, Dick, over.
Yeah, 10 meters, let me think now. 80, twice is 40, twice again is 20, and then another one is 10. So I guess there's a 2, 4, 8. I think you're 8 quarter wavelengths long on each leg on 10 meters. Bear in mind that rhombic antennas and beverage antennas tend to be multiple wavelengths long per leg and then terminated. If you only made it a quarter wavelength long with termination, you'd have very poor radiation efficiency. The fact that it's got multiple wavelengths is where the gain is coming from. And the termination at the far end, in the case of a rhombic, controls the front-to-back ratio. And simultaneously, it's also controlling the standing wave ratio. In this case, this is sort of a half rhombic, but it's vertically stacked instead of horizontally dispersed, and therefore a broadband on 12, 10, and 6 meters. I can see now how it can possibly work. I can see how it can have very nice VSWR, not super high gain, and I guess he's saying it radiates broadside. I think he said halfway between the Vs. That sounds like it's a broadside terminated multi-wavelength dipole. Interesting. And there appears to be not a lot of literature on it. I guess the writer to you was asking, do we know about it? Is it a good antenna? Should we build it? Should he build it? Is that the nature of his question, Mel? Go ahead.
Okay. The maximum radiation is in the direction of the center of the two sloping wires. Okay, that's how it is described. The question was that in a situation where this person said, I cannot put up a beam, I could more or less possibly manage one antenna like this for 6 meter operation. He'd like to work both the sideband and also where, of course, single sideband on 6 meters down at that portion of the band, and many of the stations are running horizontal antennas, beams of some sort. And here he has a antenna that he wants to know would fit a situation where he can't put that up for, I guess, reasons, on a roof or anything. We can have a structure like a tree, because it says here a non-metallic structure, non-metallic structure is all necessary, like a tall tree, in fact, it says here. If this would fit the bill for something in between a Yagi type and a vertical deck over,
My first 6-meter antenna was nothing more than a half-wave dipole strung up in the trees. And it didn't make me super loud, but it worked quite well. And my second antenna was a 6-element Yagi. I said 6-element, let me think. Or was it 4? I think it was 6 elements. And rotatable, Armstrong rotation. I think the dipole was higher in the tree than the Yagi. The Yagi did work better. And the Yagi was both horizontal and vertical elements on the same boom, so I could flip back and forth polarization-wise by choosing which transmission line I transmitted into. And, of course, when it comes to the sideband people, the horizontal polarization was always the best. Although there were times when I used both and transmitted circular polarization. The first antenna you put on 6 meters doesn't have to be the highest gain thing in the world. A simple dipole will get you on the band. He thinks he doesn't have the real estate for a rotating antenna. However, his motivation now for using this inverted V, terminated inverted V, is to probably try to get a lot more gain than you can get out of a dipole. And even if he does get that gain, the only way that I know of that you can get gain is to have a more narrow beamwidth. When you got a more narrow beamwidth, you want to aim it accurately at the guy you're talking to. And it doesn't sound like the normal arrangement of this antenna. It is rotatable. When you say it radiates strongest, halfway between the two, the mixing of the two vertical wires at the center, does that mean it radiates broadside or in the plane of the wires? How do you read that? My first guess is that this is a horizontally polarized antenna broadside, but it does have a moderate amount of radiation vertically polarized in the plane of the two wires, because a sloper will do that. The next question is, can it possibly have simultaneous significant gain broadside and in the plane? Let's call it end fire. I'm not so sure you can do that.
Repeater, time out.
So, do we know what the claim in gain in decibels over ISO or decibels over dipole is on this thing, Mel? K2KEY, K2RIW?
And it says K2K. Its maximum radiation is in the direction of the center pulsing wires. So it has some directional possibilities. But that's about the only thing I have here. I do not see any kind of a... Let's see. The length of the wires that connects two terminating resistors, can be varied to adjust the radiation pattern. Interesting concept, Dick, but I can't really say much more than that. I have never seen anything like that. In fact, I've never seen anything like that, come to think of it, in any of the books on antennas. It's seen plenty of slopers, inverted V's and things, but nothing quite, like this. Over.
YJC Mobile. YJC recognized. When it gets back to you, Mel, I'm going to ask you, did the author tell you a reference where you can read more about this? Mr. YJC, start off with your name, sir. My name is Dick.
Yes, N2YJC Mobile, and the name is Lou. And I've been driving home listening to you guys for quite a while. And the mental picture that I have painted in my head about the antenna that he's describing, he didn't say if the inverted V, if you're looking at it from the sky, has got the two elements 180 degrees apart. And I'm not sure if he did say if there was what particular angle they are to each other. But looking at it from the sky, I remember seeing something where the two elements from the support, from the feed point, are at about a 45 degree angle if you look at it from the sky. Let me drop. And we're also about 45 degrees from the horizon. And that antenna had some directionality, and he claims vertical polarization like a slofa, but that antenna had directionality, like he's saying, between the two elements. Did I tell you what's in my brain? Go ahead, Dick, and 2YJC Mobile.
Very fine, Len. You brought up an interesting point. I was always assuming the top view, the two elements are 180 degrees apart, and you think they're more like 45. So it's a little bit more like a V-beam, except that the V-beam slopes from the 50-foot high center support point, and each of the wires is 67 feet long, down to the ground where the terminating resistors are 6 feet off the ground, 300 ohms each. You brought up an interesting point. So bird top view, you're saying it'll look like a V, not like a 180-degree dipole. And now I can see how it can have a little bit more forward gain. And you have to choose the direction midway between those two elements at the top of the V. You have to choose the azimuth direction that you want to favor. Len, you're describing what you believe the questioner is telling us about the antenna. I think you may be telling me you've never seen this in any of the good books. Is that true, Len?
Okay, Dick, the name is Lou, not Len, but that's okay. Dick, I can't remember where I've seen this, whether it was in an antenna handbook or more likely on the Internet. Because a while back I was doing a lot of Internet searching on NFED antennas for working 160 meters with limited space, which, by the way, I basically just put up an NFED quarter wave for 160 and put a 10 meg resistor at the far end just to get rid of static, but that's a whole other story. But at any rate, in doing Internet research, I remember looking at a sketch of what KEY, I think, is trying to describe. I certainly don't remember what website it was. It's just something that, when he started to describe this, that picture came into my head. Go ahead.
Okay, good information, Lou. Sorry I called you Len. I think we're slowly figuring out how this thing works, Mel. And is this a good antenna for a person who has limited resources? Considering the fact that the most expensive component there is probably the 300 ohm terminating resistor, depending on how many watts he's running. And even that's not going to be terminating all of the power. If he's running 100 watts, maybe each resistor is only going to see 20 watts, so to speak. So the materials, the price of the materials are not high. Sounds like you can't go wrong. K2KEY, K2RIW.
KZ2HWW.
Go ahead, Howie.
Yeah, when you're done with this, I have an antenna question, and I want you to look at something different.
Okay. We'll put you on the list. Mel, you got it?
Okay. Well, the angle is 30 degrees, measured at the apex point. That's the wire spread there is 30 degrees. Now, for a viewer that's going to make something like this, for 80 or 160, you better have a heck of a lot of real estate, because the dimensions that are given here for 10 and 6 meter version, you know, 67 feet of wire length on a leg for 10 meters gives it quite a number of wavelengths for 10 meters. So for something like this for 80 and let's see, I think in fact I read it somewhere here that it would take something about the real estate involved for any of the lower frequency version of this. But I guess for 10 and 6 meters, it's got some practicality, Dick. It's 30 degree apex, that's measured at the apex 30 degree spacing. And bringing it down to where it's pulling it down to about, feeding it about, let's see, about a 50-foot level, and then pulling it down so the wires, when they are approximately 6.5 feet above ground, alternating resistance in place. And it's a version of an antenna that's a little bit off the beaten path, over.
It sure is. When it talks about the 30-degree angle, is that the absolute angle between the wires? In which case, a bird's eye view would be around 45 degrees, because you're now looking at it as if it's flat, even though an absolute angle is really 30 degrees between the wires. That's a minor detail, but do you think the 30-degree number is wire to wire, and you'd be holding the protractor at a 45-degree angle to the ground, so to speak, when you make that measurement of you, Mel?
I would assume you have the apex angle measured at 30 degrees. So, in other words, you space it out, you work it out, so the apex angle measured at that point would be approximately a 30-degree angle. And then you'd pull the wires, I guess, out and just walk them out down towards the ground, measure, until you have a support about 6.5 feet, some poles or posts or whatever, about 6.5 feet above ground, and that's where you put your terminating resistance, Dick. I guess that's how you get the proper sloping for it, over.
You need 60-foot long wire on 80 on 20 meters.
He claims that this is a 10 and 6-meter antenna with 67-foot long wires.
N2IJC model.
Go ahead, Lou.
I'm wondering if the angle from the sky view between the elements has something to do with impedance, just like bending down the horizontal elements of a ground plane, you can more closely get to a 50-ohm impedance at the feed point. Just a thought, but with multiple wavelengths, I don't know if that holds true.
You're probably right, Lou. It probably is an impedance converter, an impedance adjuster. And didn't you tell me earlier, Mel, what the feed impedance of this antenna was? It's something like 300 or 450 ohms. Go ahead.
That's correct. It says that it has to be fed with 450 ohm open wire line. And at the shack, you can possibly put a 4-to-1 balun if you need it. So that is the description of the antenna. 67 feet long, or approximately around 20 meters in length, the antenna wires. And nothing less than at least a number 12 wire. Okay? This is all the specifications I have on this. So I'm thinking about it. I don't know. Is this a uncle or a lost cousin to a type of a log antenna, Dick, over?
No, I think the closest relationship is a rhombic. The apex angle where you feed a rhombic, the first two legs look very similar to this antenna, even though you usually set it up parallel to the ground. And so he's got this thing tilted to the ground, and he doesn't have the other two legs of the rhombic, but he's got the same terminating resistor. The rhombic is terminated with a 600 ohm, and this thing is terminated with a pair of 300s, which means overall kind of 600. I think it's a subset of a rhombic, and it's a multi-wavelength long on each leg traveling wave antenna. That means it's going to be kind of flat in impedance and quite a bit higher than it would be if it was unterminated, which is opposite of common sense. But when there's no reflected signal, or the signal goes down the wire once, a certain amount of it gets radiated. What's left over that didn't get radiated goes into the terminating resistor. Now, to put a terminating resistor 6.5 feet above the ground, even that's a good trick. I presume the bottom end of the terminating resistor is in a piece of wire going into a stake in the ground. Although maybe that hasn't been described to you. Over to you, Mel, H-U-L-I-W.
Description to that, let's see. No, doesn't say anything about that. I was looking for that. You know, there was an antenna that you mentioned the word rhombic, and so something jumped into my mind. There was an antenna that was described back, I think, in the 60s. Now, I may be off past, but it was an antenna called the fishbone antenna. Why does this jump into my mind that this is something about a fishbone antenna, Dick? Does that ring a bell, over?
Well, yeah. In the antenna engineering handbook, there is definitely a fishbone antenna. It's a whole bunch of V's in a Yagi-like structure, fed with non-crisscrossed wires. So it looks a little bit more like a log periodic, except all the elements are close to the same length, and there's three, four, five, six elements, each one of them being a V. So there really is a fishbone antenna. It's a little bit like a log periodic. I think this thing is closest to a rhombic. I would almost call it a half rhombic with tilt. Over to you, Mel.
Okay, sounds fascinating. Very, very fascinating, Dick. Would it work as a suffice the situation on 6 meters? I would say if you're going to set this thing up and have a specific direction, like maybe you want to try to work openings on 6 meters to the west and all, or down south, we've had some equatorial types of openings on 6 meters. To give you a little bit better advantage over just a simple dipole, if this is what possibly the only thing that other than this possibly that this writer can put up there, but he can't, you know, get into any kind of a Yagi configuration. So is this the next best thing to maybe a simple vertical or a simple dipole? Maybe this will suffice something in between, Dick, over.
Yeah, it's made out of fairly inexpensive materials, not counting the 600 ohm terminating resistors. It's wire support, and so, except for the wire being longer, I think it's a good chance this is a fairly nice antenna. Not a big investment. Go for it. I would also like to put up a half-wave dipole on 6 meters, fed with a separate piece of coax cable, and compare the performance between the two. And if you're reader, your person who sent in the question, compared the performance between the half-wave dipole and this, and if you told us that this thing was 6 dB or 8 dB louder, I don't think it's beyond the laws of physics. I wouldn't have any trouble believing it in the favored direction. But now you've got to choose the favored direction. The domestic 6-meter openings you and I see are most likely down the coast, over to Texas, and occasionally over to the Midwest, so south, southwest, and west are the main directions where we get band openings. And it wouldn't be too difficult to set up a pair of these, one favoring west and one favoring the southwest, or something like that. And so the next time you get a sporadic E opening on 6 meters, it could be a lot of fun. K2KEY, K2RIW.
This is K2KEY. Now, I get a lot of questions about people that have antenna situations that, have to be sort of on the stealth side. You know, we've heard this a number of times on the TechNet, antennas that are very nonchalant, you really have to stand there and point them out before they actually can be seen. And a lot of restrictions are for antennas being installed on roofs, things like that. And so things that can be, used with tree support seem to be very attractive. I get a heck of a lot of questions in that direction, Dick. So that's really what, whet my appetite to, discuss these questions on these type of antennas. Because, as you just said, one tree support, as he says here, non-metallic support, which is a nice part of this, you surely, I bet, can, sneak up a number of them and have something that may work well enough to suffice, getting on 6 meters and maybe, like you say, work some of those openings, over.
HWW, a question on this.
Yeah, Howie, I'm going to go to you in a second. Mel, you've got the resources in that evergreen tree in the front of your property to set one of these up. Go ahead, Howie.
six. I want to, first I want to ask you, there's a guy called a Teddy Four Alpha Bravo. If you go to his website, he's making a Squalo for 6 meters and 10 meters and 2 meters. But this guy found out something, and I find it hard to believe. This guy says that he's taken a horizontal loop antenna and also taken a vertical quarter wave lift, mounted them on the same pole, and then cold phased them. These quarter wave phases, and he says that he gets better performance and gets less QSD. And I asked him if he did the modeling on it, and he couldn't tell me. I was interested in this for an application, but he's saying that he's getting good results on 6 meters. He has a 6 meter Squalo. He's not using a gamma match. He's using a half pin match, but he's using a quarter wave whip, a ground plane, without the ground plane radio. He uses the pipe as the counterpoise, but he's using two quarter wave cables, 75 ohms, matching. What kind of a pattern do you think it would work?
Any idea how many wavelengths on the side on that square loop antenna? Go ahead, Howie.
Half wave, typical half wave. All like this, you know, the old fashioned clip craft. I know that on 10 meters they're 55 inches on each side. I don't know what is on 6, but I think it's a little more than a half wave on 6 meters. Typical like a Squalo.
If the total circumference is under a wavelength, it starts becoming more and more omnidirectional. It becomes higher and higher in Q, more and more narrowband. But as you shrink the total length down, your dipole-like pattern starts becoming more and more omnidirectional. Is there any good way you could describe the pattern you get out of your square loop antenna that's 40 feet in the air, Mel? K2KEY, K2RIW?
Be afraid to. This is K2KEY. My loop antenna, my full wave loop on 75 meters, is not classic in shape. If you could see it, look down and see it, of course, it'd be pretty hard. You'd see that I wasn't able to put the support in a symmetrical order. So it's more like a shape of some kind of a polygon, I guess that's the way you'd have to describe it, that this, you know, the supports are not in line with each other classically. So how much of an effect does, of course, you know, classic loop antenna as described is a nice circle. It looks like looking down at a halo antenna, you know, a nice round thing that's nice circular. Antenna, I mean, as originally described, but of course, very few people had the resources or the place, you know, to get that many supports up to make a round loop, so that's how it became more or less the rectangular or square type of loop. But mine is, like I say, somewhat distorted in shape, Dick, but does encompass the full wavelength on 80 meters over.
The question is, what happens now that you put a vertical, whip, and you say two antennas, you get a vertical and a loop. What's going to happen to the pattern now when you have the vertical antenna?
Yeah, the biggest variable there is how you feed the two. Power dividing to feed the two, that's easy. What phase length of cable do you feed the two? If you do it just right, in certain directions, you'll be circular polarized. And there are people who think circular polarization on sporadic E has an advantage, that some of the fades will not be there. In the case of a sporadic E opening, you don't have as much trouble with signal strength. Your biggest problem is the fades you get as the Faraday rotation rotates the signal, or as you skip over and under the location you're talking to, and the sporadic E cloud moves it 180 miles an hour to the northwest, so it's a moving target, and the places where you're getting good reflection back on the ground are also moving. So feeding horizontal and vertical elements with the right delay between the two could allow you in certain directions to be circular polarized. Over to you, Howie.
He's claiming that he's using quarter wave phases. in phase, caught away. 275 ohm cable tied to a T connect. What I'm trying to find out is this. He's the first guy that actually makes a 10-meter loop antenna. I'm thinking about buying his loop. I was thinking about using inverted D's, but he makes this thing. Now, the idea is this. Not only do I want this to work with E-skip on 10, I also want this thing to give me a good operation with F-skip. Now, do I get more Faraday rotation E-skip? I would assume that F-skip is more stable than E-skip. Am I correct in what I'm saying, Dick?
When it comes to Faraday rotation, it's a function of 1 over frequency squared. It's a function of how strong is the magnetic field and the orientation of the magnetic field. I think you get the greatest Faraday rotation when you're propagating at right angles to the magnetic field. So an east-west signal, since the magnetic field is essentially north-south, an east-west signal is going to have maximum Faraday. If that's true, then a north-south signal should have a lot less Faraday. There's still an angle, the magnetic field is, lines are tilting in your neighborhood, so there's still a bit of an angle, but it's a hell of a lot less. So my first guess is that a north-south signal will experience less Faraday. Faraday comes from a mixture of magnetic field and plasma. The ionosphere is the plasma, and the Earth supplies the magnetic field. Over to you, Howie.
Okay, let me ask you a question. If I'm in phase, I'm using 2/4 wave cables with a power divider, and I have the vertical rod in the at the center portion, at the pulse. The rod, think of a squalo. The squalo is mounted to the pipe at the T point. That's where the hairpin matches. It's mounted to it, and the vertical radiating element is right above the antenna, and the two antennas are power divided to a 1/4 wave antenna. What type of pattern am I going to get? Is the pattern going to help me, or do you think it's going to be so screwed up that it's going to carefully shut around? That's what I asked the guy, and he said he never did modeling. He said he played with it on 6, and he said that he found out on 6 it helped him. It gave him less fading on signal. What is your opinion on that? Is this just going to give me such a crazy pattern that it's going to hinder me?
No, I think you're going to be happy with the pattern. In the case of a squalo antenna, or a Saturn 6 hula hoop, any of these loop-like antennas, as long as the total circumference is less than half wavelength, it starts becoming more and more omnidirectional. The phase center of that loop antenna is very close to the mounting location. You got the capacitor on the ends of the loop furthest away from the mount. The highest current point is very close to the mount. So the phase center is very close to the mount. The vertically polarized thing is also co-located with the mount. Its phase center is almost the same place. So you have co-located phase centers, almost co-located. They're decoupled to each other because one is horizontal and the other is vertical. If you feed them 90 degrees out of phase, you will be making circular polarization. The vertical element is radiating equally in all directions around in azimuth. The loop, if it's small enough in circumference, is doing the same thing. So that combination of E and H is going to be close to circular polarization in all azimuth directions. Ain't that nice? Over to you, Howie.
Now, I want to ask you, this sounds stupid. When you say I want to feed it 90 degrees out of phase, does that mean that the two cables have to be different lengths? Or are you telling me that the power divider cable is exactly, each one is exactly 1/4 wavelength in distance to the cable?
If you're using a power divider that itself has no phase shift, like a Wilkinson 3dB power divider, then one of those antennas will have a cable 90 degrees longer than the other antenna, and you will generate circular polarization. The other way you can do it, you can use a 3 dB counter-directional coupler type hybrid. That automatically gives you 90 degrees of phase shift in its two outputs. And then in that case, you'd use equal length of cable from the power divider to the antenna. So after all is said and done, you're dividing the power and making sure the signal going to one antenna is 90 degrees different from the other. So there's multiple ways of doing it depending on what your power divider is. Over to you, Howie.
All right. What happened to both antennas are fed in phase? Because he's claiming that he's feeding both antennas in phase. Both antennas are being fed with electrically quarter length of 75 ohm cable, because both antennas are basically 50 ohm. The vertical and the horizontal are close to 50 ohm impedance. So he's feeding two of these antennas with exactly an in-phase cable. What is exactly going to happen? What is exactly going to happen to the pattern if they're both fed with a quarter-way power divider?
Very similar to what would happen if I had horizontal elements and vertical elements of a Yagi, and assuming they're co-located on the same boom. If I fed the two driven elements 90 degrees out of phase, I would be circular polarized. If I fed them in phase, I would make slant 45 degree polarization. Very similar to what happens if you feed signals into the horizontal plates of an oscilloscope and vertical plates of an oscilloscope. Feed equal signals in phase, and you make a slanted 45 degree line on the screen. Feed them 90 degrees out of phase, and you make a circular pattern. Those are the two different states of a residue pattern. You'll make a circular pattern on the screen with 90 degrees of phase. Polarization does the same thing. So I wouldn't recommend in phase, because you're now making slant 45 degree polarization. That's not quite as desirable as circular, in my opinion. Over to you, Howie. FYJ, you recognize? Howie first, go ahead. To the antenna as quarter wave matching transformers, life's going to get a little bit more complicated. You may have to use a stub in the right location to get impedance match. The other thing to worry about with this antenna, and that is the loop antenna itself, a halo antenna, is a rather high Q antenna. If it's tuned a little bit high or a little bit low of the operating frequency, it'll start shifting phase pretty fast. So where you think you're 90 degrees out of phase, it's not super critical, but you could easily be 40 degrees wrong, depending on the tuning of the loop. But impedance matching, you got a zillion ways of doing it, Howie. And using stubs in the right location is a good solution, low-loss solution. You can make any impedance you want with the right length of cable with the right stub. And the stub can either be short or open-circuited, assuming you were operating at essentially one frequency, one narrow frequency region. Mr. FYJ, thought of your name and your question or comment. KQRIW, my name is Dick.
Good evening, Dick. It's Harry. It's been quite a long time since I last checked in. I joined in and was listening a little bit late, and I'm wondering if the whole purpose of this big loop antenna is to produce an omnidirectional pattern or not, if that's what the desire is. I have an alternate suggestion.
Well, the antenna that Howie's now discussing is a, I hope, small wavelength loop, like a halo, which is very close to omnidirectional, horizontally polarized, combined with a vertically polarized quarter wave right at the mounting point. So the two antennas are very close to being co-located in phase center. By having two cross-polarized, co-located antennas, where the horizontal one is close to omni. By definition, the vertical is omni. Then if you feed those two antennas 90 degrees out of phase, you are circular polarized in all 360 degrees of azimuth. That's awfully desirable. That's what Howie's going for. The advantage of this antenna you're describing, Howie, is that it's omnidirectional, covers all compass directions, north, south, east, west, and it's circular polarized. Therefore, one very big fade characteristic you get on sporadic E, Faraday rotation, has been handled. When you're circular polarized, a guy that's sending you a linear signal and it's being Faraday rotated, you don't care if the polarization that gets to you is horizontal, vertical, slant 45 right, or slant 45 left. When you're circular polarized, you handle every one of them. So this is a very desirable sounding antenna. Omnidirectional in pattern, circular polarized in every direction. You can't get any better than that, except for asking for more gain. Well, you can stack a pair of these vertically displaced. But omni in pattern and omni in polarization, I don't see how you can do much better than that. Harry, I think you, oh, I guess it was Glenn had a further comment on this. KT2QIQ, K2LIW.
Let me make one more comment. I think your website is going to look this guy up.
Howie, you're going to have to do something about your signal strength. You're only there half of the time, and you're very noisy. While you're making that change, let's have Glenn talk. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, I actually have a comment and then a question after, but I'll let Howie come back after the comment. On the beam that I have right now, I have an MA5B, and I can rotate it between vertical, mechanically, you know, with a motor control, from horizontal to vertical. And sometimes, especially on 10 meters, in the 45-degree position is a very desirable position, because sometimes you have mobiles that are operating with their vertical whips, and you have base stations typically either on dipoles or horizontal beams on the flat side, and at 45 allows you to really get some fairly decent coverage all the way around. So sometimes 45 can be pretty useful also. Let me kick it back to Howie, and then I do have a question later, Dick. KC2QIQ. KC2FYJ
still has a question observation.
Okay, Harry, you're on the list. Slant 45, which is what I'm running right now on 2 meters, is very nice to be halfway between horizontal and vertical. Lightly better than that would be circular polarization. When I'm slant 45 to a guy that's horizontally polarized or to a guy that's vertically polarized, I'm 3 dB down from where I could be. A small sacrifice to get to all people that I talk to, horizontal and vertical. If I was circular polarized, again, I'm putting at any one instant of time half the power into horizontal, half the power in vertical. Again, I'd be 3 dB down. But the advantage of circular is now, in the case of Faraday rotation, that's slowly changing in time as that sporadic E-cloud moves around, there would be no favorite polarization to my antenna. I would receive them all equally well or equally as bad, depending on your point of view. Let's see what Harry's got to say about all this. Go ahead, Harry.
Hi. Dick, let me give you this guy's website. It's KU4AB.com. Kilowatt United 4 Alpha Bravo.com. And the guy is making 2 meter, 6 meter, and 10 meter antennas. Squalos and this vertical type antenna. And they're about $100. And the guy is in Tennessee. I found him on the web. KU4AB, you copy?
I sure did copy the KU4AlphaBravo.com. And when I get a chance, I'll look that one up. Harry, you got it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my recollection that if you take a half-wave dipole, and then you take a second half-wave dipole, and you cross them at the feed point, feed them in phase, the result will be an omnidirectional pattern. And I'm wondering if you did that and then stuck a vertical right there at the feed point, if you could accomplish the same thing. Because it would certainly be a lot easier to mount cross dipoles than it would be to mount a loop. At least I think so.
Yeah, what you're describing is a turnstile antenna. A horizontal parallel to the ground dipole that will say east-west. Another horizontal another dipole parallel to the ground, north-south. Feed them 90 degrees out of phase. It's omnidirectional, but linear in polarization. However, if I stood to the south and looked at that antenna, I'd see a beautiful horizontally polarized wave. If I then stood to the east and looked at that signal from the exact same distance, again, I'd be getting a beautiful horizontal signal, same amplitude, but it would be 90 degrees different in phase. That antenna is taking a horizontal signal and at the carrier rate, rotating it around the horizon. That's what a turnstile does. Therefore, if I put a vertically polarized element at right angle to those two previous dipoles, in one direction, like north, I would be clockwise. In the other direction, south, I would be counterclockwise circular. East and west, I would be slant 45 right and slant 45 left because of this phase shift phenomena that a turnstile antenna has on the horizon. If you took that turnstile antenna and picked up its plane and made its plane perpendicular to the ground, now you're transmitting circular polarization broadside. You could say a turnstile transmits beautiful circular polarization straight up clockwise and straight down counterclockwise, a normal turnstile parallel to the ground. So because of that phase shift phenomena, you're not going to get circular polarization all the way around the horizon. Whereas the antenna that Howie is describing, the loop antenna, if it's small enough in diameter to be omnidirectional, and a vertically polarized thing with it. The nice thing about the loop antenna is that its horizontal polarization only has one phase as you look at it from various angles.
Repeater, time out.
It's only got one phase as you look at it from various angles around the horizon. If the loop is small enough in circumference, then it is omnidirectional in equal phase. So if you want circular polarization every direction around the compass, this loop plus a vertical thing is one way to do it. The other way to do it is, I'm trying to think of the name of the antenna now, not Wallenweber, not Roberts, it's got a proper name. There's an antenna that's got four dipoles to it where each of the dipoles are slanted 45 degrees to the ground. And they're all around a circular center mounting point. I'll eventually think of the name of this thing. That's also circular polarized in all directions. There's a couple of broadcast antennas that give you circular polarization in all directions. Anybody have any further comments on all this? K2RIW.
That almost sounds like a different
one. East and west. Stay instead 90 degrees out of phase, Tip.
This cone antenna is purely vertically polarized in all directions, not circular polarized. This other thing I'm trying to think of, the name of, and once I think of the name, you can start searching it on Google. What did you just say, Harry? Howie?
Two. Same thing.
I think you said the loop plus the vertically polarized thing, properly done, will give you circular polarization. All angles around the compass. The only thing you're worried about is how to properly impedance match it. That's a minor one. Don't let that be a showstopper. Impedance matching it is easy. Getting the two fed roughly 90 degrees out of phase, that's not difficult. A 10-meter version of this should give you a nice antenna that, because it's circular polarized in all directions, should do a pretty good job of fighting Faraday rotation on DX signals. Okay, you've got it, Glenn.
I just didn't want to step on Howie there. I just looked at the website that Howie's looking at. That's called the KU4AB website, and the antenna that he's describing is called an SQ-50HV. And as it was described, it's a horizontal loop mounted in square, and then the vertical whip is coming right up the center. And it's fed with two cables and tied into a T. I guess at quarter wavelength, I don't think that matters too much from the way it looks. And basically, that's a 45-degree antenna, 45 match DC2 QIQ.
Is the author claiming it's got 45 degree slant polarization?
He's not claiming degrees. What he's saying is he's just calling it the cross-polarization antenna. He's not referring to circular polarization. He's definitely defining it as cross-polarization.
Yeah, if you feed them in phase, you will be slant 45 degrees polarization in essentially every angle. But if he goes one step smarter and feeds them 90 degrees out of phase, he is close. He's going to be very close to circular polarization in all angles. The only slight catch is that the loop antenna will favor certain directions if the loop is larger in diameter than half wave, or as it approaches half wave, it'll favor certain directions. As the loop gets smaller and smaller in circumference, it becomes more and more omni, and it also goes up in Q, becomes more and more narrowband. But as long as you tune it to your favorite frequency, that configuration, whether the author KU4AB realized it or not, I'm convinced is capable of circular polarization in all directions. And I almost just thought of the name of that four-dipole thing. It'll come to me in a minute.
Yeah, it appears, Dick, that this antenna is definitely, it's a quarter-wave loop and a quarter-wave vertical, and it's just fed with a T. Yeah, it doesn't look like he's considering here circular polarization at all. It's definitely a 45. I have a question later for you, Dick, also after this KC2 QIQ.
FYJ with another thought.
Go ahead, Harry.
Modification of that turnstile that was there discussion a few moments ago. Suppose instead of crossing dipoles, you were to cross inverted V and then stick a vertical element above it.
Okay. An inverted V, just one single inverted V, is a pure horizontal antenna when you view it broadside, is a pure vertical antenna when you view it endfire, and in between, it's sort of halfway between those two. The nice thing about an inverted V is it's omnidirectional, but because it's horizontal in one direction and vertical in another, and then you put a vertical on top of that, you could be circular polarized north and south, but you'd be pure vertical linear polarized east and west.
Cross two V's.
I know. Okay. If we cross two V's and feed them 90 degrees out of phase, so it's a turnstile of inverted V's, can you make that circular polarized? Let me think about that. I think the answer is no. See, the nice thing about the halo is it's got one single phase of horizontal polarization.